How's it going? How's it hanging? Pretty good? Good. Welcome back to another edition of If You Give a Mike a Comic, number 14. I'm back with the solo gig for this week. And it's good. It's good. I got some fun stories to talk about this week, so it should be good. A good little podcast that we're going to do today. How have you guys been? Good? Everybody's getting ready for Halloween to come up. Halloween will be here tomorrow. Today's Friday. It's the 30th. I don't even know what I want to be for Halloween. My girlfriend's been asking me for weeks what I want to be for Halloween, and I still don't know. I'm just like, I just want to go out and see chicks dressed up sluttily. And actually, I wanted to be the comedian. Get it? From Watchmen, which, if you don't know who that is or haven't seen that movie, you're a fucking idiot. That's terrible, because that's a fucking awesome movie, and you should check it out. If you haven't, or even if you haven't, you forgot his costume. He doesn't have sleeves, so in New York, when it's going to be like probably 40-something degrees, having a costume without sleeves, it's just not fun. I mean, and I can take a jacket out, but I'm like, if I take the jacket out, what's the point of wearing a costume when I'm covering it up, you know? So I just, plus now it's too late anyway, because I would have had to have ordered the costume like a couple weeks ago to make it happen. So at this point, I don't know. I don't really, some people get like super gung-ho about Halloween, like to the point I'm like, you're an adult. You need to realize, like, yes, I get it. It's fun to dress up. It's fun to play dress up and be a different person for a night or whatever, play a character. But if you're spending like an entire, like, some people spend like weeks or months even getting costumes ready. I'm like, that's like, to me, that's such a waste of time for one night where everybody's gonna go, oh, that's cool, you got a cool costume, and then forget. You know, even good costumes, I don't remember most costumes that I've seen. I mean, you know, occasionally I guess some people put something out that's like, whoa, holy shit, that's amazing. But nothing's even coming to mind when I'm trying to think back. I'm like, a couple of years ago, I remember a guy that went as Skrillex, I think. That was one that sticks out in my head. He had, like, the head thing. Or, is it Skrillex? No, actually. No. I'm sorry. Not Skrillex. It's the other e-music guy. EDM. What is it called? Something Mouse? Dead Mouse. Fuck, I couldn't think of it. He went as Dead Mouse, and he had that big mouse head on. I was like, that was pretty cool. I remember that one. But most of them are just, you know, it's just, to me, I don't assign as much to it. I don't care as much about Halloween. I've never been a huge Halloween guy. I do enjoy it. My favorite costume, I think, that I did was Ron Burgundy. I mean, that's a classic. But, I mean, I've been other stuff, too. And to me, it's like, I don't mind putting a little less effort in. I'll do it. I'll dress up. But I don't need to put in, like, weeks of preparation to get ready for it. That's just kind of stupid. So anyway, Halloween will be here. Hope you guys have a good one. Be safe out there. I don't even know if this will be posted by then. But I had some things I wanted to talk about just in general and about last like week or two. And really, actually, last week I had an interesting encounter. Obviously, I've talked about police brutality on this podcast multiple times, I know already, and for some reason it just keeps coming up, right? but actually, in this case, no, it wasn't brutality, but I personally had a encounter with law enforcement. I was we went down to the cellar, which I go hang out there sometimes, or obviously a lot, and by the way, I just want to say, this is a completely change of direction, but to those listening, thank you. I didn't even say like any of that when I started the podcast, but thank you for listening in on this. I do appreciate it. I know I've got a lot of comedians that have listened in, so I understand that some of my audiences, or just guys that do open mics that are just trying to like figure stuff out with their comedy or whatever. So I appreciate you guys listening in. And I actually had a little spiel about last night for that, but I'm going to do that. I'll talk about that in a second. I the police thing. So I was hanging out, and we were there meeting up. Some friends were visiting from town, from San Antonio. So we were hanging out with them. There was a group of us there. And then a few of us stepped out. There was a gentleman there that was distributing some things that I procured. Pot. I'm just going to say pot. So we bought some, a little bit. And I mean, this was like the most delicious like pot I've seen in a long time. It was very, very, it was the stinkiest weed I've smelled probably in, definitely since I've been in New York, that's for sure. So we stepped over to the side of the building. There's a little alley or whatever, side street. And I pulled out that bag. Now, mind you, when you walk down the streets of New York City, it is like you just smell weed everywhere. I'm not exaggerating. Like, I can't walk. I can't go somewhere in New York City, like if I'm going out to a bar to do a show or what, a club or whatever, and not at least probably once encounter smelling pot somewhere when I'm walking. It's extremely common that people smoke outside in New York, smoke weed. And it's actually not even like, it's really been diminished as far as the, how serious of an offense that is considered at this time. In fact, I think I saw that they were going to like up to an ounce was like not a tick, like it was ticketable, but it wasn't an arrestable offense. So the laws and like the people in New York City are, I would venture to say, definitely over half smoke weed because it's just so prevalent here that you see it, smell it, and it's always just around. So anyway, with that as a preface, we're standing outside. I'm not thinking anything of it. I've already been in New York 6 months. I've smoked outside of bars. I can't even tell you how many times at this point. And it's not an issue, right? So, and a car pulls around, and it's like a black Chevy Malibu, and they pull up and they stop. And at first, I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, did they stop because they forgot something? Trying to back up? What's going on? Or is this like somebody going to come jump me? Like, I didn't know what was going on. And as soon as that happened, my friend was like, you know, hey, just put that, you know. And I was like, I still kind of didn't even grasp what was going on because it wasn't a marked car. So, and then sure enough, the doors open, four guys step out, four police officers step out of the car. And they come up to me, what do you got in your hand? And I was just like, nothing. And it's like, oh yeah, really? Well, let me see that. And I'm like, okay. And I hand him the bag. He's like, oh, okay, you got some weed here, whatever, you know, whatever. I don't remember exactly what he said. They're patting me down, okay? They turn me around. They start patting me down. And this is just an example of how fucked our, like, the whole thing is. The whole drug apparatus, like, drug war infrastructure of how we do this and everything that we've set up to combat, quote-unquote, drugs, it's just served to create this ridiculous system where it's not even an offense, yet we're still treating it as it is, if that makes sense. It's basically just revenue for the city of New York. Because this guy's sitting here, I'm getting patted down, and like I've never had a cop tell me, well, I should say I've never been caught by a cop smoking weed like when I was doing it, so this was the first time it's ever happened. But like he was sitting there as they were like, you know, searching my shit or whatever, and is like telling me like tips on how to like not get caught the next time I smoke. Like, yeah, if you want to just be a little more discreet about it. I'm sitting here, I'm like, this dude's like trying to help me out as they're patting me down, you know? And so, and the guy even like sits there and he admits it and he's like, yeah, we thought you had coke. And I'm like, no, this is pot. This is like so common in New York City. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. I know a guy, I won't mention names because I'm not going to put him out like that, but he messaged me. He's a New York comic as well. And he even told me like he got caught with weed and the cop gave him his weed back. Like they didn't even take the weed. They just gave him a ticket. And then later the ticket, he was emailed or notified that it was dismissed. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They took my bag. They probably went and smoked it. They probably took it around the corner and smoked it. He even said that. He's like, yeah, we're not going to do anything with this. Like, you need to tell me that? I'm pretty sure I should expect that. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a fucking cop. You're not supposed to take my weed, drive around the corner. Hey, you got a fucking roll paper, bro? Let's fucking light this shit up. This is some dank ass fucking stink, bro. That kid thought he was fucked, man. Look, what a fucking idiot. Like, it's fucking pot, man. It's so fucking innocent. Like, it's been covered already. I could go into details again about how fucking drinking is way worse than pot. It's a waste of breath. We all know it's true. We all know pot is harmless for the most part. I mean, I won't say that, you know, it's harmless in the standpoint of like it makes people a little bit lazy, which depending on the person, makes them unproductive members of society. I could get that, but like as far as safety to others, no. You'll never be able to convince me that smoking pot puts other people at danger, or even yourself. It's all just as Bill Hicks said, war on personal freedom. But anyway, so they're like, well, we're going to write you a ticket. So I'm just like, fuck this, man. This is bullshit. Like, I'm sitting over here like a fucking idiot as he's like sitting here saying this nonsense to me. And this guy's writing a ticket. And then he proceeds to just tell me like, hey man, I don't show up at court. Like if you go, like you can get out because I'm not going to go to court. Like basically inform me, letting me know up front, like if you go challenge this and plead not guilty, it's going to get dismissed. And I'm like, fucking, this is ridiculous. You know, like I'm over here like, and I know the fine is probably something. I hope it's not anything crazy, like $25 or something. I think, I don't know, but I'm just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen because you really stop and grasp what's going on in the situation. They're even admitting that they don't like giving me a ticket's kind of pointless and dumb. They're even admitting like if you just challenge this, you're not even going to have to pay it. Yet they're going through the act of doing it. And it's like you have to like justify your job. What's going on here? Why? Like I don't get why you have to. You could have just said, it's just weed. All right, just be a little more smart about, don't just do it out in public, and left. They could have done it, stopped there when they saw that it was weed. It's like, oh, we thought it was coke. Like, fuck you, man. So just the whole encounter just left me like, kind of just, what the fuck is, I don't understand how cops are just able to live and do a job like that where it's like, I know this is like not right, yet I'm still doing it. Because it's, We've passed like the point of like, I feel like the critical mass, is that what it's called? Critical mass, when something like goes towards like it's already too far gone going that direction, it's not going to stop. I feel like that's with like the cat's out of the bag about pot and how dangerous it is. And it's nonsense. And if you're listening to this and you believe that pot is bad or it's going to put other people at risk or hurt people, I'm sorry, you're a fucking idiot. Okay, and you can turn the podcast off if you don't like me saying that, but you are. You're an idiot. It's not harmful to anyone. It's never been proven to cause any health defects. In fact, there were studies that show that people like lung capacity actually increased from those who smoke marijuana. And even if it is, I will say carcinogens with, you know, burning plants and stuff, there's obviously smoke and it's not. Even that, that person is assuming that risk. Just the same as a person that buys cigarettes. Nobody stops anybody from buying cigarettes. And cigarettes are probably even more harmful in terms of secondhand smoke. But yet, you know, people want to sit here and challenge. And I don't think there's a lot of people. I think, like I said, I think it's really the tide has shifted quite a bit in that department. I think the internet has really helped with that because it's just so out there now and information is not solely in the hands of corporations anymore. It's like, you know, 20, 30, it's not even, it's more than that, 40 years ago, whenever the Nixon started the war on drugs, you know, their only sources of information for anybody were the radio and were the newspapers or going to a library and doing research for yourself. But who the fuck does that? You know, everybody got their news and information from the corporations that ran it. So now we're in an age where that doesn't apply anymore, and kind of those stigmas against marijuana use are just kind of falling away. Of like, we know it's all nonsense. We know Reefer Madness is a joke. It doesn't. It's not. It was all propaganda set up by the U.S. government to criminalize a natural plant that grows in the ground. That, you know, you water it and you give it soil and nutrients and it comes out of the ground just the way that you have it. And it just like struck me as I'm standing, you know, I'm just like, I literally have a plant in my hand. I have a plant in my hand and I'm being accosted by cops because of it, because of a plant. How dumb does that sound? If you think about it, if you really break it down. And that's why you need to make sure Bernie Sanders gets elected. I hope. I'm kind of like, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon because I don't want to get my hopes up about the guy. He's actually been the only candidate I've heard, other than maybe, I think maybe Ron Paul, in terms of his lexicon as far as with the weed, with the war on drugs. He talks about decriminalizing is the proper word, because you can't make nature illegal. And I know I'm, again, but this is Bill Hicks, but it's just as the point is, the you can't, it's criminalizing something that's not a criminal thing. It's making something into something that it's not. You know, that's a natural plant. It would continue to grow on the earth if every human being was exterminated. If we all died tomorrow, mass extinction, pot would still grow naturally on the earth, and it would still be in existence in the world after we were gone. So, you know, just to make it, to turn it into something, it's obvious the intentions were much more sinister than people want to, you know, believe. And it's really, I do, at the core of it, I do believe it's about mind control. And I know that sounds very like conspiracy theorist, but, you know, say what you will. It's definitely about, you know, you're talking about telling people that we know better than you what you can put in your body. And when anybody's telling you that, if somebody random walked to you on the street and said, look, I know what's best for you, you would tell them, go fuck yourself. You don't know what's best for me. You don't even know me. So, you know, to say that there's not people that benefit, there's not other benefits to hash oil, and just in general, like not even drug benefits, not even from, you know, taking it to alter brain chemistry, like to use it as a practical, you know, hemp is so useful in terms of all the different things you can make with it. And it's like shit like that. It's just all stupid. So I know I'm like ranting at this point. It was a really like piss me off experience. And then I went and bought another gram from the guy and went home. Went over. I was like, man, the cops just fucking gave me tickets, took my weed. You got another G, man? All right, cool. Thanks, bro. Later. Oh, yeah, because I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel. Yeah. I feel like I can't yell. I'm in my apartment. I think my neighbors are. I wonder if they ever hear me doing this podcast and they're like, what the fuck is this idiot doing over here? If only shut up. We're sick of it. Tell this guy to shut up. Okay, so I assume if those are my listeners, most of my comic listeners, the open micers or the hobbyists of the world, whatever you want to be, whatever you want to call yourself, I don't care. I don't even care if you call yourself a comic, because comic is such a loose fucking term. I mean, I've been paid to do comedy plenty of times. I still don't even feel like a comic. Like, I just feel like a fucking imposter sometimes. Whatever. Whatever we are. I wanted to talk about something, the benefits of hanging out. I actually, yet again, and I talk about this, I wrote an article, you can check it out on my website, CodyOdell.com, where I talked about mistakes that open micers make. And I believe at the top of that list was not hanging out. And I think it was the top of the list, I have to look. But the concept, to some guys, I've hung out in New York with some guys, and there's kind of different schools of thought on hanging out, and people call it different things. Whatever you want to say, networking, building relationships, however you look at it, hanging out, it's all the same thing. It's just putting yourself in positions for opportunities that you wouldn't have potentially in other places. So I hang out with guys that do, like, I know one guy, and he does, like, every mic he can. Like, he's one of those guys that he starts, and I respect that. I really do. But he starts out, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, whatever the first mics of the day are, and then goes until, you know, 10, 11 o'clock doing what, as many mics as he can, 4 or 5 mics maybe. And he's one of those guys that's in that school of, like, you just got to be great. and it'll speak for itself, and opportunities will come to you because you're great. And I'm not saying that for some people that hasn't actually happened. One of my best friends, one of my brothers in comedy that I started out with, Raul Sanchez, I think is a perfect example of a guy like that, that he's just so undeniably fucking great and such a great writer and put in the work. Not like, let's not even excuse that. Like, because as funny as he was, it still took him a few years to get traction and for people to find out how awesome he is. But I don't find those guys to be the rule. I find them to be more of the exception in comedy. I don't think that they're as common as we want to think. I think for most guys, it comes down to the work. And it comes down to, like, a guy like me, and I don't know about those of you guys listening out there, but I mean, I'm a work guy. I put in the work. If I want to be great, I'm thinking that about those 10,000 hours. And I know those are that's not necessarily always true about the 10,000 hours rule, but I think there's a lot to be said about the amount of experience you have on stage and how many years behind you have and experiences you have as far as what you provide comedically, because you've seen so much and encountered so many different situations that there's nothing that really surprises you anymore, and you can react and be on point against anything. So there's that. But there's also talent in just writing. But there's a mixture. And so I've hung out with those guys, and they, he kind of like, I'm just trying to be great. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just trying to go to every open mic I can. But, in New York City, most mics are like 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe. And you're running around. You're going all over New York City. You may cover a distance of, 20 miles in a night from going one place to another, to another, to another, which in New York, 20 miles is a long way, by the way. But I mean, I'm just talking about, you're going all over not all the boroughs, but you're in Manhattan, or you may start in Manhattan and go to Brooklyn and then go up to Queens from Brooklyn and then come back to Manhattan and then go back to Brooklyn. You're just all over the place, and it's so much work for such little payoff. And if you're in another city, because I know a lot of you guys listening probably are, if you want to do a lot of mics, you might have to run around. The concept of being able to do longer sets at one show is like lost on guys, because they're just so focused on, hey, I just got to go do as many mics as I can. And sometimes doing mics, you got to skip a mic or two and you got to just go hang out. Sometimes it comes down to, what can I do with my night? Can I go to this bar mic in Brooklyn or wherever you're at, a bar mic somewhere in Somerville, USA, and where it's not going to help me? Or, could I go to a comedy club and hang out there? And I know I'm not up, but hey, maybe I'll meet somebody cool, get to hang out and be seen by people that are maybe of a higher stature than me in comedy, that eventually I could maybe become friends with or build a relationship with, and putting in that time there and finding a happy medium, because you got to be getting on stage. So to me, the hanging out part, whatever. Last night I went to do a mic at it's kind of a club. I don't really call it a club, but it's the Village Lantern in the Greenwich Village, Manhattan. And it's down the block from where the Cellar is. It's very close to like all the hip clubs of New York City. But, and they've got like a comedy showroom downstairs. They just do shows every night of the week. But it's not really a room that I consider a mainstream room. It's just kind of a, secondary sort of room, but either way, it's not bad. And so I went and they did an open mic there, and I ended up hanging out. And I know the guys that put on the show after that, the 8 o'clock show, and I wasn't booked on that show, but I hung out and they were there and we were chatting or whatever. And without me even asking for it, they said, hey, we can get you up, man. You can go do five. So I'm like, cool. I could have run out to Brooklyn, Williamsburg, and gone to this bar and done a bar mic, which is going to be shitty and it's going to be all comedians probably, and it's most likely not going to be that great. But I stayed here and I hung out, and now I'm getting to do a 5-minute spot, even more time than I would have done at the mic, in front of real people. So that's awesome, right? I mean, I got an awesome opportunity out of it. And so I did that show, and I was just still hanging out there, and there's a later show that they do on Thursdays, and I was there, and I know the guys, a couple of the guys that do that show, and then they were like, hey man, you want to bark and help get some people in and whatever, maybe do a spot? And I'm like, sure. So I ended up picking up that, and ended up that the host was running a little late, and they had already, we had barked some people down into the room, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't have them down there too long before we started, because people might leave. So and he was like, "Do you want to host?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll host." It was just kind of out of nowhere, and I ended up hosting. And I love hosting, because in New York City, hosting is the opportunity I have where I get to meet new comedians. I get to hang out. I get to talk to people because I've got to bring them up. So I ask them any credits they have, get to make a little bit of small talk with people. It's just a great networking, and comics are afraid of that word, networking. Oh, network. I don't like that word. Fuck that. Anybody that says they don't like that word, trust me, they're never going to be successful. Or at least don't understand the importance of it. So I just ended up picking up the host spot, and I got to do all that. And a lot of the comics I've already seen and been hanging out with a little bit and done one or two shows with at other places. But it was awesome because these are guys that are doing rooms that I'm trying to get in. Like, these are guys that work the stand. You know, these are guys that put on other shows in New York City. These are people that are just – by knowing them, it ups my profile in the scene a little bit. So it was great, and I had a good night. I had – the first show was a little bit, the audience was a little tight. They were laughing, but they were a little reserved. They weren't giving away you had to work for it a little bit more. And then when I hosted the second show, it was just fantastic. I mean, from the get-go, they were engaged. I'd like to think I'm a pretty good host, though. You know, I have that right particular host energy to bring people in. But no, it was awesome. So I got to have a really fun time. And hung out, and actually I'm pretty proud of myself. I didn't even drink, mainly because I didn't have any money, but also because, you know, I was like, yeah, hey, you know, I'll take a night off. I drank a little bit. I had a couple beers. All right, I had two beers early, and then I didn't drink the rest of the night. But yeah, and it was a great night. And the moral of the why I'm saying all this story is just because that was made possible because I went to hang out at the club, and I ended up getting stage time out of that. So, you know, you talk about, oh, hanging out has no benefits, networking has no benefits. Yes, it actually does. And, oh, I'm going to go to this mic and do a shitty open mic that's not going to benefit me because no pros go to open mics. Guys that have any pull in the industry, guys that work in comics, do not go to fucking open mics. Occasionally maybe, but fucking rarely. Or I could go to this room and just hang out here in a place. And it's, like I said, it's not a major club in the city, but it's definitely for guys like me, like some of the younger up-and-coming guys, it's a hip spot for them, and it was a good night, man. And I ended up getting 15 minutes of stage time out of it versus I could have run all over the city and only done, you know, 6 or 7 minutes. It's just nonsense. So the value of hanging out can't be diminished. And if I have to leave anybody as I'm trying to wrap this up because we're at 28 minutes now, with any wisdom that I have, which I don't have much. Because I've only been doing comedy for 6 years, and I don't really consider that to be that long of a time. I think 10 years minimum before I would even feel comfortable identifying myself as a stand-up, truly. But is that my opportunities, a lot of them have been just that, hanging out, just being around, having your face in there, and meeting those people that might be able to help you out, might be able to throw you up. And I wouldn't have done that if I was too concerned with just going to do stupid open mics all the time. You know, I get that they're important, and I don't ever want to say don't go to them, because I think you should. Everybody that's not really getting paid much or at all for comedy, you got to be hitting those mics. They're your workout, they're your gym. But you also got to be putting yourself out there as far as situations where you're just chilling and you're just talking to other comedians and you're just shooting the shit, and a lot of good shit comes from that too. So don't diminish how important that part of the game is, and make sure you put that effort in on that end of it too. So and with that said, I mean, I guess I'm wrapped up for the day. I don't know. I 6:12. I'm gonna go out to Queens tonight, hit up a place called The Creek in the Cave. I think I already said my date last time for San Antonio. I'll be there December 11th, the Blind Tiger, with probably a couple of awesome, Raul Sanchez, should be there, as well as a few other dudes, that are fucking awesome. So, keep that in mind if you're making your holiday plans, December schedule. And other than that, just enjoy the rest of your day, your weekend. Have a good Halloween. I'm going to try to post this up today and make sure you guys, you know, try not to kill anybody, okay? Have a good one, man. Peace.